right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussnow. You are tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference, the show that will inspire you to think in a new way, to perhaps inspire you to get out of your comfort zone and to think bigger and to think of things that perhaps normally you haven't considered. And with that in mind, I invited somebody very special today to join us. She is an animal channeler, is what she calls herself. She wrote a book called We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. And also, she has a book of animal cards that I've been looking at that's quite fascinating, animal message cards. She's going to be our guest. She's a channel of animal consciousness and understands the insights and knowledge of the animal kingdom can help humans experience life with more understanding, simplicity, and happiness. And also, Sarah Mendelson is what she calls a photo. What do you call that? A photo. Photo. Photo certified polychromatic light therapist, equine
right?
Photopuncture therapist.
Photopuncture.
I've never heard of these.
Well, you know what?
What are they?
Well, technology. You know, technology is blending with ancient wisdom, and photopuncture is essentially acupuncture utilizing light, red and infrared light, for example, instead of needles. Light is information and travels through the body and spurs it to heal itself, if you will. So, yeah.
Right, and that's what. And that's. Do you do that with animals or humans or?
The equine photopuncture is really how this all started. You never know in life if something is a landing pad or a stepping stone. And that particular type of body work led me to, you know, this complete change in my life when I started hearing things in my head, which I thought I was making up at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, welcome. We've already done... We're past the introduction, but I'm going to go back. Welcome, Sandra Mendelson, to the Inspire Possibility Show.
I'm glad to be here.
I like the name of your publishing company, Little Black Paws. Opens the door to the spectacular world of animal consciousness and what these creatures understand about life and humans. So how do you think animals, one thing I've been reading your materials, how do you think animals help us understand ourselves better?
Well, the first thing is, you know, let's focus on the animals closest to us because we have the most exposure to them, those that share our home, truly can be masters of mindfulness. If you pay attention, you will notice. And that means no earbuds, you know, not being mentally in the past or the future. If you start to share reality, looking through your eyes the way your dog or your cat does, just being totally present, you will start to notice what they are showing you, the lessons they are teaching you in enjoying the small moments, in getting out of your, you know, monkey mind, if you will, slowing down. Knowing when to rest, because we humans think we are machines and animals instinctively all do it. They know when to slow down and rest. As a bear said to me, your cells cannot regenerate when your switches are always on.
Mm-hmm.
So your animals can really, we know that they slow our heart rate. We know all the scientific stuff. But now I think at this point they're stepping forward because people are really starting to open up on many levels to what is not just in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about what the bear tells us, where does that information come from?
Well, you know, I needed a squirrel to kind of outline the whole thing for me as to how the multitude of ways that animals receive information and why they know everything that's going on in our world. And I don't know how to make this really short and concise. I guess you have to read the book, but they don't need an internet. They have the birds transmitting information globally. There is no cell zone where birds don't go. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two, if you read about the field or the web of life, only humans do not see this grid that connects all living things. And information goes in there, at least according to the squirrels and the other animals that have spoken to me. They experience something, it goes in the web. They communicate through the thought stream. Scientists know that animals communicate in a lot of nonverbal ways. They know about body movement and scent.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you how many animals of different species have told me that most of their communication is through the thought stream. That is where I met them. You know, and we can all do this.
The thought stream.
I tell people, try the squirrel experiment. Most of the time they run away because they hear our thoughts, and our thoughts are pretty yucky as a species.
Uh-huh.
But if a squirrel does not immediately run away from you, with your mind, not your mouth, say good morning or afternoon. It is lovely to see you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And watch what happens. You will see these squirrels start, they will stop midstream and just hang off the tree staring at you in wonder because they heard you.
Uh-huh. I have on my property. I have lots of squirrels, and they're always when I notice they're many of them are different colors, and they also seem to play a lot. They travel in twos, so they'd be going round and round a tree, and just all the way up down the tree. And I sometimes will watch them, and it's always fascinating to watch them. But this year, for some reason, I've noticed more different colors. Black ones.
It sounds like you have different
usually
species,
there used to be just the gray ones. But now I see the black ones and the red ones. And so let's just start with you say the animals we live with and in our houses. I mean, the squirrels don't come in my house. But dogs and cats. So let's... Let's just go there. What is it about the dogs they just seem like such, and I've always had a dog pretty much my whole life. They just seem like such good companions and friends, and not all of them. I mean, some of them are, but most all of them are that way. And what is it? What is it? I go back to the origin of the connection between dog and man was when the wild dogs in prehistoric times used to follow the hunters, and the hunters would hunt, they'd cook, and they'd throw their leftovers, and the dogs would, the coyotes or whatever they were, would get the leftovers, and then they would kind of in return kind of protect man. So when there were other warriors, other tribes coming into the space, they'd bark to warn them. And that's how the more or less the story, what I read, started. And so quite often when somebody comes to our house, our dogs bark. So do you have any insights into that origin of the human, the connection between dogs and man?
Well, I think you just laid it out as to the beginnings of it. You know, as my dog has said to me, you know, we know our lives are not like yours. You know, you have to work and you feed us and you take care of us, and we take care of you in different ways and energetically. We send you energy that helps you heal and helps you deal with things. And so, yes, right there is a perfect example of how what you described from the very beginnings. Dogs would pay back, if you will, right? There's this symbiotic relationship. They don't just take and leave. And, you know, what I've done a bunch of different readings for dogs, and what a dog said to me a few days ago was, you know, sometimes we know who our person is and we just have to find them. And my dog did that, and I'm still trying to piece together how he tapped into my energy field and found me, but that is a much longer conversation.
Yeah.
And this dog went on and said, you know, I didn't know who my person was in this life, and it almost killed me. And P.S., he was rescued, and it's a long, lovely story by a man
at
a TV station. But
that's in your book.
Mr. T, who's lying at my feet right now, he knows if I have an interview, I ask him to please come in so he doesn't bark outside.
My dog is outside.
But, you know, my nephew said, what does your dog call you? Does he call you Sandra? Does he call you Mom? And I asked him. He said, you are my other. And I think that's pretty indicative.
My other,
O-T-H-E-R, my other.
Uh-huh.
They walk a path with you. They take it, and again, remember, the overriding principle is that they are all unique souls just the way we are. So if someone says to me, well, I always had Dobermans, and they always lived till 11. Why did this one die at 8? Or why can't this one, why does this one have an allergy? You know, unique souls with their own karma, if you will, you know. Don't blame yourself if your dog gets sick. You know, there's a contract, if you will. The dog is learning things, and you are learning things. And you are walking the path with exactly the dog that you're supposed to have for whatever lessons you need to learn. So there is the whole energetic principle also extends to our pets. You know, there's a he now calls himself a former scientist, Rupert Sheldrake, who wrote a book in 1999, Dogs Know When Their Owners Are Coming Home, because they tap into your energy field. So it didn't matter what time that person came home. The camera always showed that dog knew when he was waiting. Animals are energetic beings. They put energy into the earth, especially the big animals. They feel what's going on in Mother Earth, which is why animals know when there's going to be a natural disaster. You know, pets.
I share my dog with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
So we at first, I used to make a joke about how I'm co-parenting with my daughter because people would say, do you have grandchildren? I say, I have a grand being. The dog. And I used to call myself grandpa, and I used to joke. Now I don't really joke when I say to the dog, come on, Bailey, you want to listen to grandpa play the piano? it is. So dogs are special. And
But they're not babies. And that is the one thing, you know, I never criticize what anyone does. But once Mr. T entered my life, I broke the baby talk habit because he came into my life a fully formed adult dog, and I watched him. And watching is the key, and you can see the intention behind what they do and what they notice and where they put themselves. And when we infantilize them, we're not really doing anything, but it's just bad behavior. You know, it doesn't help anybody. They're not our babies. They are our partners, our companions, you know. And cats have their own.
So one thing I just wanted to share with you before the cat is that I read a magazine sometimes called Science of Mind, and they have articles about different spiritual teachers, and then they have columns by the same people. The articles are different, but the same people write a column. So there's one column called Pause a Perspective, P-A-W-S, a perspective. And it's called Murphy's Dogma, and it's from the perspective of a dog, and it's just a great. I love it, and how he refers to his human companion, Reverend my human companion. So what about cats? What are they? They're the other ones we live with that we interact with in a big way. They seem a little more aloof. To me, anyway, and independent. What you're thinking about that, and let's hear your thoughts.
Well, you know, again, cats. You know, cats have their own unique path, and for as many examples of cats that are aloof. I have an equal number of examples of cats that, I mean, my cat followed me to the bus stop, just like a dog. I have cats that are affectionate. I have cats that swat at things on TV thinking that they're toys and, you know, like a race car going around a track, and other cats that don't even acknowledge it. So I'm sure that there are many animal communicators out there, and they're breathtakingly talented, and they could probably shed more specific light on the behaviors of cats. I tend to get soul messages. For example, a blind cat told me something that I thought applies to all of us, especially when we go to get an animal, for example, to adopt one at a shelter. I chose my human mom every bit as much as she chose me. This is how we get through to you. We connect with your higher self that knows the best course of action and activate it, making the sound loud enough so you hear it as a thought in your head. I thought that was really profound, because when people go in, I want that cat, I want that dog, and they don't know why, here's part of the why. That animal is already keyed into you. Even if you think it's fate or whatever, I'm telling you, no, it's not. There's no accident. So they do work energetically on us, and it's always for the higher good. You know, there's never an evil intent. Animals don't come from that place. It's usually for our best interest.
The other animal that I think there's a real human connection with are horses. And in my mind, they're the most mystical. They have a certain mystique about them. And do you have any thoughts about that, about horses?
Absolutely. And it was a process. Because
why am I surprised that you have? Why am I surprised that you do?
I have the whole animal kingdom talking.
Yeah.
I can't say I've communicated with every species, and there's still so much I don't know, but so many of them did come through, and it all started with horses, and they pushed me to tune into other animals. But here is something, the very first aha that I had was with a horse who said, when the barn closes, we can drop the facade and be our true selves. We hear the birds speak, the plants speak, everything speaks. And, you know, I thought I made it up. Came back to the barn the next day with, you know, my head down. I'm going to be grounded and humbled. And he headbutted me out of his stall into the aisle and said, you bought into the illusion again. We need you. Still have no idea what he's talking about. And then go back another day. And I sit there, like, with my hands out to meditate. And they go on like electrical fire. And he said, you feel that? I just sent that to you. This is what we do. We heal with our bodies and talk with our minds. We are always sending energy to humans. And as I'm thinking, where do they get the energy from? He said, we leave our bodies to connect with all that is, because our vibration, our frequency, gets lower being in a body. This is the ethereal part. And I said, do all horses do it? And he said, pretty much, but we find it more difficult to do when our human is having is going through a difficult time. And a tiger told me animals get their energy from different ways. Birds are mercurial, and they get their energy from the transmission of information. Grounded animals, like lions and tigers and bears, get their energy from a cord, an energetic cord, from navel to earth. And he said, and horses are ethereal, and they travel at night. So that was a big aha for me, but not really, because if you tune into the horse community worldwide, you will, and there are so many books out there, when horses speak and people listen, the horse community is waking up so fast, because these animals are so ethereal, and it gets more spiritual from there. But I've been directed by the animals to just share things in little installments, you know, that we humans have to wrap our heads around things slowly. I can't just blurt everything out, because it gets to be too overwhelming.
I need to remind our listeners, you are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Sarah Mendelson's our guest. She's an animal channeler. She has a book out called We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. And where is that book available, Sandra?
It's on Amazon, and so are the animal message cards.
Yeah, I did want to kind of look at a few of these. And how do you, when you're talking about these messages, How do you say, well, the bear talked to me or the tiger talked to me? How do you distinguish whether it's a bear or a tiger, and where do these messages come from? Are you in the presence of a bear when you say a bear spoke to me? Are you in the physical presence, or just is something that you
The beginning
you
of the book starts out where I am physically present with, you know, my dog and the squirrels, and if I happen to have I think the squirrels were the trigger, because it was face-to-face with the horses and the dogs, and then with the squirrels, I wouldn't have anything to write with while I encountered them, and I'd go back into my house and pick up a pad and pen that sometime that day, and the conversation just, took off. They slow down the language so I could record it. All animals have been doing this. So it started out that way. You know, it went from face-to-face to looking at a picture to, I mean, the horses said, okay, and here's where your telepathic abilities come in, tap into anyone from anywhere. I'm like, yeah, sure. And immediately a blue whale and a sacred cow in India and a water buffalo came through and just blew the top of my head off, because I just, what?
Right.
I couldn't make this stuff up. That's the famous story. You know, I'd call my mother the next day and go, Mom, and she's like, relax, it's not you. You're funny, but you're not that funny, and you are smart, but you're not that wise. So
I kind of see a picture in my head.
Yeah,
it also said you were a magnum cum laude at University of Pennsylvania. That means you're smart.
Well, you know, the conscious mind knows, what, 1% of everything that's going on. And we humans use our minds beautifully, but there's a lot more that we can do. We have more doors in our individual houses, you know. So people are waking up to this kind of stuff now.
Well, a few more animals I kind of wanted to cover in this conversation. And the humans seem to have a fascination with our whales and dolphins. I know once on Kauai I swam and kind of was surrounded by a group of dolphins, which was an amazing experience. I mean, it wasn't like they were right around me, but they were, I could see them, and it was, within 20-30 yards. But what is it about those animals that there's such a fascination, the dolphins? I mean, you go back into the Old Testament story of Jonah and a whale, and what about in the big picture? It almost sounds like whales, or maybe the whole, you sound like you were saying the horses were the whole genesis
of
this idea.
You know what? It's amazing you're saying this, because horses, and this is what I've been told, and other animal communicators are getting really deep into stuff from whales. Horses, whales, elephants, dolphins, these species of animals work intergalactically. I mean, this is going to be a future book. They have everything to do with, so they're doing so much more work than you possibly could think. And that's one of the reasons for our fascination with them, because of their vibration, because of their intention, because of what, in fact, somebody just posted a picture on Facebook of a whale. I think it's a real picture. I have to go look at Snopes. It is a heart-shaped cloud, the color of a rainbow, over its head, as if it's, blown through its blowhole. So people are starting to tune in and having the most miraculous experiences with these species of animals, because they're doing a lot of work, way beyond what you think. I mean, when the whale came through to me, he had a message he wanted to share, and it had to do with oneness and the experience that humans don't have and animals do have of moving through something and knowing that you are one with it, wounding it. Hurting it would be like wounding yourself. So, there's just tip. I'm at the tip of the iceberg in what I've shared in this book.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing
with those
is you
animals.
And you were saying that you have another book on the way, and you wanted to tell our listeners how they could actually be part of that. So could you go ahead?
Sure.
Tell us that.
Yeah. I am getting some channelings now for the deeper realms, if you will, but that's going to be the third book. I think it's really important that these experiences of connecting with animals and how they change our lives and get through to us be inclusive, because so many people are having amazing inexplicable experiences with animals, either in form or in spirit, you know, once they've crossed over. So I'm putting that out to specific audiences. If they want to share their story, and, you know, pictures are fantastic as well, they can contact me at my website, sandra@smendelson.com, because it is a group experience. We all can connect with animals, and it isn't just the Sandy Show.
Right. You know, I wanted to share one quick animal story for me, was when I grew up in the city in San Francisco, my mom wouldn't let me have a dog. So when I graduated college, a college friend gave me a dog. He said, you can have the dog if we can have the breeding rights. And so I was with a girlfriend at the time, so we said, okay. So I lived in a cottage in the back of a house, got the dog. Within 3 days, I got evicted in San Francisco. And I always wanted to move across the Bay to Marin. But you always think, well, there's a certain time you do this. It wasn't the right time. So my mom said to me, you always wanted to have a dog. You always want to live in Marin. You want to keep the dog, you might as well move to Marin. At that time, it was impossible to find houses. So that's what happened. I ended up living in Marin and lived here ever since. And there was that animal, that connection with the animal, that got me over here. And like I say, where I live now, there's tons of squirrels and dogs all over the. Almost everybody in this area has a dog.
Wow.
They're just amazing healers. And the animal cards, which I was reading beforehand, and what I thought was interesting is that some of these cards are, what I noticed, they're photos of different animals. I just went through this one of a crow. There's one of a kangaroo, and there's one of a sheep. Yet the message is all about what's about self-love, which is a big part of what I do. And I actually have a video on self-love on my website. So where did that come from, you, that you're going through these different animals talking about self-love? It's almost in a way that you, in a way, have a deeper knowing, a deeper wisdom that you want to share, and you're using the animals as a vehicle to do that.
Well, I'd like to accept credit for all of that, but when I started the conversation, you know, asking animals, I'd started, my first topic was love. And so first the horses at the barn spoke to me, and then the animals on their own. You know, I asked them about human romantic love, and I got some amazing, amazing insights from them, and they drove down the topic to its very core, which is self-love. And those three animals, I had to put them in the deck because it's such a crucial issue for all of us humans. So unlike other topics, I had to put each of the three animals that spoke about self-love into the deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So your next project is your next work, and people, you want them to kind of share their animal stories with you. And you know, I always ask people on my show, because it's the Inspire Possibility Show, what inspires them, and seems like you've already shared that, right? You know, the wisdom, the animals that are in your life, and what gives you hope, I think, is that more, and that's another question I ask people, and I think you've answered that too, but why don't you go ahead and put that in your own words? What gives you hope?
Well, what gives me hope is the fact that, for example, the animals have not given up on us because they can tap into the thought stream. So in spite of all the atrocities that are not in my book for a reason, they know all the goodness. They know our intention. They know all those millions of people globally that are not making the news. I think I'm also so inspired by them, because I would hear something. I mean, how about this one? Hearing something from chimps in Tanzania, how there are amazing rescue efforts going on in Asia. I had no idea what they were talking about. 4 months later, Animals Asia, this amazing movie from Disney talking about what China's doing, saving endangered species and creating habitats of hundreds of thousands of acres in the center of China. You know, hearing things from a horse, and then 4 months later, the Dalai Lama says the very same inspiring things thematically right after the last election as to how to get through the next 4 years. So, I mean, I am consistently inspired by the animals, knowing all that they do and choosing the path that they choose. We think of things as instinct, and they turn out to be choice so much of the time. They choose the high road. They choose to manifest with their minds, focusing on what they want to see. So these are the kinds of things that give me hope. That's what they're sharing with us, that if we would get on board and only focus on what we want to have happen, the outside would start to change. I mean, that's not unusual philosophy to unique to the animal world.
I need to kind of thank you for being on the show. We're running out of time, and remind our listeners that every week we have amazing people sharing their wisdom with us. And in the meantime, thank you, Sarah Mendelson, for your commitment, your wisdom, and your openness. And hopefully you continue to do the work you do and make a difference in the world. So thank you again, Sandra Mendelson. And to all you are out there, until next week, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.